Is Israel a rogue state? Its army has killed Al Jazeera's journalist Shirin Abu Akleh in cold blood, and this is not the first time. Will Israel get away with its crimes, and who can hold it to account? This is Inside Story. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Hashim Ahlbarra. Shirin Abu Akleh was a household name across the Middle East. The veteran Al Jazeera journalist earned widespread praise for more than two decades of reporting on Israel's occupation of Palestinian territory, telling stories of war, atrocities and Palestinian resistance. She was shot in the head as she covered Israel's latest raid on the Jenin refugee camp in the occupied West Bank. Al Jazeera condemned the killing as a blatant murder intended to prevent journalists from conducting their duty. Qatar's emir called on those who assassinated Shireen to be brought to justice. Jamal Shayal takes a look at what we know about the killing of Shireen.
Don't shoot the messenger, unless you're an Israeli soldier. In that case, you're seemingly okay with shooting a reporter who's clearly identifiable as a journalist and poses no threat. Shirin Abu Akleh is the latest reporter to be killed by the Israeli military, which has a long history of targeting journalists and news outlets, particularly Al Jazeera. Shirin, a veteran reporter who spent her life covering events in occupied Palestine, was among a group of journalists documenting what was happening in Jenin early on Wednesday. According to eyewitnesses and video footage, she was wearing a safety vest and helmet, both of which clearly identified her as a member of the press. Despite this, or maybe because of it, Shirin was shot and killed.
We were going to film the Israeli army operation, and suddenly they shot us without asking us to leave or stop filming. The first bullet hit me, and the second bullet hit Shirin. They killed her in cold blood because they are killers and specialize in killing only Palestinian people. We had no resistance, and there was no Palestinian resistance at all at the scene.
Journalist Ali Samoudi was also shot and injured in the attack.
There was no exchange of fire. So there is no possibility whatsoever that a Palestinian have shot Shirin Abu Akleh. The Israeli army always uses these excuses to cover up the crimes they are committing against Palestinians, including Palestinian journalists.
According to rights groups, Israel has killed 50 journalists since 2000 and injured more than 144 in the past 4 years alone.
Inhar al-Burj. Inhar al-Burj.
This is also not the first time Israel has intentionally targeted Al Jazeera. Last year, the network's office in Gaza was bombed to rubble, while journalist Javar al-Bideri was assaulted by Israeli forces whilst reporting on Israel's ethnic cleansing of Arab residents in occupied East Jerusalem's Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood. Israeli authorities say they've launched an investigation, but human rights groups say they have little faith in Israeli justice, particularly with renowned organizations like Human Rights Watch and Amnesty International accusing Israel of implementing a system of apartheid.
There are human rights organizations, for example, like Beit Salem, an Israeli human rights organization, that decided a long time ago that they are no longer going to even interact with the complaint system within the Israeli army because it is not serious. It doesn't find Israeli soldiers guilty.
Qatar's foreign ministry, whose country hosts the Al Jazeera network, issued a statement.
The Israeli occupation killed Al Jazeera journalist Shirin Abu Akleh by shooting her in the face while wearing the press vest and a helmet. She was covering their attack in Jenin refugee camp. This state-sponsored Israeli terrorism must stop and unconditional support to Israel must end.
The European Union and other members of the international community have also condemned the killing. But all these condemnations have fallen short of including any sanctioning or punishment for a crime that threatens the essence of any free society, a free press. Shireen was killed trying to inform the world of what was happening in her country. The world now knows that in occupied Palestine, no one is safe from Israel's bullets, not even journalists. Jamal Al-Shayyal, Al Jazeera.
The killing of Shireen Abu Aqla triggered international condemnation. The UN Special Envoy for the Middle East peace process demanded an immediate and thorough investigation. The US ambassador to Israel also tweeted a call for a thorough probe into the circumstances of her death. Israel has proposed a joint inquiry, but the Palestinian foreign ministry said it does not trust investigations by an occupying state, adding they do not lead to a place other than acquitting criminals and murderers. Last month, international and Palestinian media groups submitted a formal complaint to the International Criminal Court accusing Israel of war crimes against journalists. The Committee to Protect Journalists says 24 journalists have been killed since 2002. That figure does not include Shireen Abu Aqla. Other press freedom advocates have reported higher numbers. Israel systematically targets journalists from media outlets, including Al Jazeera. Several on board a humanitarian flotilla heading to Gaza were detained in 2010. A year ago, this week, an Israeli airstrike destroyed the offices of Al Jazeera and the Associated Press in Gaza. And a month later, Israeli soldiers arrested Al Jazeera journalist Givara Buderi as she covered protests in the occupied East Jerusalem. Let's bring in our guest in West Jerusalem. Haggai Led is Executive Director of the Israeli Information Center for Human Rights in the Occupied Territories in Doha. Aisha El-Basri, Researcher at the Arab Center for Research and Policy Studies. In Cambridge, Rami Khoury, Professor of Journalism at American University of Beirut and Senior Fellow at the Harvard Kennedy School. Welcome to the program. Haggai, how would you characterize the position of the Israeli government so far? Because when you listen to Benny Gantz, the defense minister, he seems to be implying that this could have the fire that targeted Shireen Abu Aqla could have come from the Israeli side. You have the prime minister, Naftali Bennett, saying at the same time, no, we should blame the Palestinian fighters for this.
I think they've pivoted very quickly from their initial efforts to deflect by suggesting in numerous ways, from the prime minister down, the IDF spokesperson, other government ministers, the foreign minister, who is also the alternative prime minister, all very quickly suggesting, based on a short video clip, that it was Palestinian gunfire that killed Shireen Abu Aqla and injured her colleague. And then, once that was thoroughly debunked within a few hours, also thanks to the work of B'Tselem itself, they've shifted to what is typical, their routine, which is offering an investigation. But experience very clearly demonstrates that in the cases of such killings of Palestinians, the announcement of Israel's desire or intention to investigate does not lead to accountability. It's just the beginning of the state's organized whitewash.
Mm-hmm. Aisha, the Israeli government is calling for a joint investigation. The Palestinian Authority says it does not trust a joint investigation. Where does this leave the case of Shireen Abu Aqla?
Well, let us start with this question. Do we really need an investigation? An investigation is called for when there is doubt. And from what we saw, from what we heard, the media professionals, the Palestinians who were there just next to Shireen Abu Aqla and who were also victims of the same attack, they saw the perpetrators. They're eyewitnesses. And I think they're witnessing this targeting of Shireen and her colleagues is quite enough to establish this crime. I agree with what just has been said. The investigation is an old trick. It's a strategy to muddy the waters, to obfuscate by time until the outrage and the tension is diffused, and then is going to be another case or story killed. So I think that there's enough evidence The eyewitnesses are very credible, unless one thinks that Arab Palestinians are not trustworthy to be witnesses of an attack that they saw the perpetrators. Mm-hmm. And that would be another discrimination.
Rami, the Palestinian president, Mahmoud Abbas, said that the authority is going to take the case to the ICC, International Criminal Court. Do you see the case taking that path any time soon?
Oh, it's likely that the ICC will be asked to open an investigation, a preliminary investigation. Reporters Without Borders and Amnesty International have already tried to use the International Criminal Court to investigate the Israeli destruction of an entire apartment block of offices last year in Gaza that had the Associated Press and Jazeera and other journalists. So the likelihood of any serious action by the ICC is slim, but the Palestinians are now using every opportunity available to them nonviolently and legally to mobilize public opinion, to lean on the rule of law, to hold Zionism and Israel accountable for their actions. And I think we will see more calls of this kind, mm-hmm. But probably very little independent investigation is likely to happen. But I don't think much investigation is needed. If you looked at the Washington Post story this morning by mm-hmm. three terrific reporters on the ground who went there and spent hours investigating every angle, every Israeli claim, every Palestinian claim, and they said the evidence is pretty clear.
Haggai, you spoke of what happened when the Israeli government posted the video showing Palestinian fighters trying to create its own narrative by suggesting that these could be the people who have killed Shirin Al-Khoury, except that when you stepped in as B'Tselem and you said this is absolutely no way that this could have come from those areas. Now, when you look at that position by the Israeli government right after the beginning of the international outcry against the assassination of Shirin Abu Akleh, do you see the potential for an independent, impartial investigation by the Israeli government that would provide the crucial elements of exactly what happened and the circumstances of the killing of Shirin Abu Akleh?
I mean, we have an experience of, unfortunately, of many years of work, of the ability to analyze and really understand what the Israeli investigation system is really about. It's not meant to establish accountability. It is meant to protect the perpetrators while pushing against the jurisdiction of international justice, while suggesting that there is domestic recourse, while in fact there isn't. So there's a reason why Israel invests all these efforts in the public relations of what looks like an investigation, so that there won't be international jurisdiction, while at the same time succeeding in providing itself with blanket impunity. And I think from Israel's perspective, looking back at the record from numerous cases of killings of Palestinians in the West Bank, in East Jerusalem, in major military operations against Gaza, the uses of snipers against Palestinian demonstrators during the Great March of Return, and so many other examples, eventually Israel managed to get away with it, mm-hmm. Both to maintain this reality of committing war crimes and enjoying impunity, and at the same time somehow preserving its standing in the world as, you know, a democratic nation, member of the Western Club of Countries, and so on, with no consequences. And that's really what is essential, what must change if we are to eventually get closer to some sort of justice here.
Aisha, when you see the string of international condemnation and statements coming out right after the assassination of Shirin Abu Akleh, the EU urging an independent investigation, the United Nations Human Rights Chief Michelle Bachelet saying that it's about time for an end to impunity in Israel. But do you see realistically a chance for a change of behavior in Israel as far as the atrocities committed against journalists?
All these statements we've been hearing since yesterday, they've been actually playing at the hands of Israel, because they've been also playing the same game of casting doubt about the testimony of the media professional Palestinians who were there and saw the perpetrators. I think what should be looked at right now is the big picture. Why Shireen was killed, was targeted, Well, first of all, because she was a journalist and she was chasing the stories about the crimes and exposing them, but also because she was an Arab Palestinian who was like most of the Palestinians targeted. Their existence, or rights to exist, is denied by Israel. And she was chasing the story of apartheid Israel. I think the big picture right now is what happened in that camp, why she was there. She was there because Palestinians in a Jenin camp, they're living under the apartheid Israel. And that is the story. Unless the international, so-called international community, deals with this issue, I don't think there would be change. Plus, the big, I would say, step that has been taken by the UN was actually the report by the rapporteur, special rapporteur Michael Link, on 22nd March 2022, who exposed for the first time facts that have been documented by Palestinians, by B'Tselem organization, by Human Rights Watch and Amnesty International. So he confirmed that there is an apartheid in a system in Israel and that has to be dismantled. Mm-hmm. Unless the international community deals with this issue, I don't think there would be any change.
Rami, there have been many reports over the last few years by independent media organizations in the occupied territories talking and documenting the cases of abuse, killing of journalists for many years in those areas. We haven't seen an international outcry. Could the case of Shirin Abu Akleh be the moment that would bring together a new awareness about the need to put an end to targeting of journalists?
I doubt it'll go that far, but what it will do is add one more element in a growing crescendo of international concern, mobilization, action, political pressure, public statements, media coverage, organizing in labor groups and universities all over the world. That very, very slow trend in the last 10-15 years, and especially in the last year, since last May, June, in Jerusalem and other places around Palestine, we've seen a significant but slow trend in which governments issue statements, but they don't take action. And now we're seeing more and more action. BDS is the main way that this is happening, but there's also law cases in the United States, parliamentary decisions in Europe, labor union, banks, supermarkets in Europe, places, all saying we will not be complicit in Israel's apartheid colonial system in the occupied Palestinian territory and treatment of Palestinians. Shireen's assassination will add one more push to this, mm-hmm. And it'll bring journalists more actively into this, especially since she was a dual citizen, American and Palestinian. But the most critical point, mm-hmm. I think, to grasp is how this is being framed by Palestinians as part of a 100-year struggle, that this has been going on since the 1920s. And Jenin was a center of Palestinian resistance to early Zionism in the 1930s, mm-hmm. And has been ever since, as has Gaza. And the Israelis were sending their army, one of the strongest armies in the world, into this warren of the little streets in the refugee camp, mm. with massive firepower, intelligence, satellite, everything you can think of, and they still can't quell it. They cannot stop the resistance in Jenin, and that's why they were there, and that's why Shireen was there, and that's why she was shot. Mm-hmm. So this is a bigger story, and the context has to be appreciated as an ongoing resistance war by Palestinians, mostly peaceful, against a colonial Zionist Israeli move since the 1910s, 1915, 1917. The balance is still in Israel's favor politically, globally, but it is slowly, slowly moving towards a more even-handed position. This is important.
Haggai, I would like your view about against the backdrop of what we've been talking about. Now, B'Tselem, the organization that you work for, has been doing an extraordinary work over the last few years in documenting human rights violations in the Israeli-occupied territories. Now, the Israeli government has been really angered by some of your a report to the point where it has been trying to produce new reports, parallel reports, to discredit your narrative. At the same time, to give you an example, 2019, the United Nations Human Rights Council commissioned its report about it found that there are indications on the ground that Israeli snipers have been targeting Palestinian journalists who are trying to cover what was happening on the ground. The Israeli government rejected the findings, saying that these are kangaroo court reports. The way the Israeli government has been dealing with your reports or with the reports from the international community, what kind of message that is sent to the people?
Yes, maybe if you allow me, just before I address that, mm-hmm. I wanted to add one more thing about the how critical the impunity is for Israel's oppression of Palestinians. And what I want to spell out is the following. It's impossible to conduct such an oppressive apartheid regime against an entire people over decades without the usage of organized state violence all the time to take their land, to control them, to oppress them. So the violence is an essential aspect of Israel's ability to do this to the Palestinian people. But it has to come hand in hand with the impunity, because if Israel doesn't grant itself the impunity, then it doesn't have the ability to apply this kind of violence and successfully control the Palestinians. So this is strategic. It's a cornerstone mm-hmm. of Israel's regime. It has to be understood as a feature of this system. Now, with regard to the way the government addresses our reports and the reports of, you know, other human rights organizations, of Palestinian colleagues, international organizations, and so on, it's very typical, a response that doesn't address the substance because they really can't argue with the facts and with the analysis. Instead of that, they opt to try and shoot the messenger, try and you know, present us as traitors, or in the case of Palestinian colleagues, typically the government would try to present them as terrorists. And with regard to international entities, mm-hmm. Usually the government will use accusations of anti-Semitism.
Okay.
The ICC it itself was blamed by the former prime minister as both supportive of terrorism and anti-Semitism.
Aisha, briefly, if you don't mind, could it be this prevailing sentiment, in particularly in the West, that, you know what, because this is a part of the world where you have dictators, where you have instability and so on and so forth, and violence and radical groups. You know what? Who cares about the fate of the journalists when they die? Because you don't get the same response when it comes to a similar case where a Western journalist is targeted or is killed.
Well, I think the main reason is because Israel is actually the product, the byproduct of Western colonial settlers, and this is their baby, basically. So this is whatever Israel is doing is the result of their creation, which the UN unfortunately contributed to through the partition resolution and all over the action and lack of action it undertook. So that's basically the reason why they don't want to hold Israel to account. But the UN has a major role to play. I would say first that it has to follow up on the Michelink report on the apartheid Israel mm-hmm. and the need for dismantling it. Second, there's a UN Security Council resolution 2334 that was adopted in 2016, which calls on ending the occupation and also ending the illegal settlements. That also has needs a follow up by the Palestine, the state of Palestine. Mm-hmm. There is also the ICC. The ICC, we haven't heard Karim Khan. He was very quick to take the first plane to Ukraine and start the investigation. And we haven't heard from him on when it comes to Palestine. It's
Thank
been
you.
1 year since. So these are the three major decision makers that need to do the right thing in order to dismantle the apartheid.
Thank you very much indeed. This is exactly what Shireen Abu Aqla said when she was last interviewed. I first went into Jenin refugee camp 20 years ago. Before that, I had to overcome my fear. I chose to become a journalist because I wanted to be close to people. Aisha al-Basri, Rami al-Khoury, Hagai al-Leda, really appreciate your insight. Thank you. And thank you too for watching. You can see the program again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com, for further discussion. Go to our Facebook page, that's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. You can also join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is @AJInsideStory. From me, Hashim Ahlbara, and the entire team here in Doha, bye for now.